This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
7.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, there are certain things that some people have nightmares about, freak out about. And one of those things are snakes. And it's not just that some people are freaked out by snakes, large snakes. It's that places that some people may find a snake is what freaks them out. And toilets are one place. Like people sitting down on the toilet to drop a deuce. And then you know, they hear something and they look down and they may see a snake in their toilet, Coleman. But I just saw this story about this person who was taking a shower, and they looked down in their shower drain, you know, where your shower water disappears, and they saw two eyes looking up at them. But lucky that this person who was taking the shower wasn't one of the people who freaked out when they think about snakes or see snakes or see a snake. Because this guy's taking a shower and he happens to look down at his shower drain and he sees two eyes, and then when he investigates a little bit more, he opens up the shower drain because he saw the two eyes. Most people wouldn't pry open their shower drain after they saw two eyes looking back at them.
Yeah, most people would just hop out.
With
the snake named Tom.
And then they'd call a plumber. Maybe they'd call someone like Harold from Harold's Plumbing. But this guy opens up his shower drain after he saw the two eyes looking back at him, and he pulls out a 6.5-foot snake. I mean, not only was it a snake, it was 6.5 feet. It was the size of a New Orleans pelican. And I'm not talking about the bird. I'm talking about the basketball player. I read this story, and the guy put this on his Facebook page. And wouldn't you know, a guy in Queensland, Australia, was taking a shower.
The land down under.
And he happened to pull up a python snake. That's 6.5 feet. And he had no problem. And while he was shampooing, he pulls a 6.5-foot python out of the shower drain.
That's what I was about to ask. Like, when he noticed that he had two eyes looking back up at him and it ended up being a snake, did he not get out the shower and put some clothes on first, or did he pull out the snake while his snake was hanging out?
Dude, many of the men in Australia, they're a lot different than men all over the rest of the planet. Didn't you ever see the movie Crocodile Dundee?
Yeah, I did see the movie.
That dude is from Australia.
So I'm guessing when he pulled the snake out the drain, he said, "You call that a snake? No, this is a snake."
Yeah. Remember that scene in that movie, Crocodile Dundee, when he was in the bar in New York City and he saw what appeared to be a fairly attractive woman, but he walked up to her and he grabbed the woman right by the junk, right in between her legs, and turns out it wasn't a woman.
Junk.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Australian dudes are different. So this dude in Australia taking a shower, yeah, I say this every so often when we talk about stories. I like to put myself in the shoes, or at least in this time, in the bare feet, the guy taking a shower. I usually like to put myself in the shoes of the people in the story to try to think about what I would do. And I'll be honest with you. This one I could flat out tell you, if I saw eyes looking back at me from the shower drain when I'm taking a shower, I am not opening up the drain. I'm not prying it open to reach inside to see what the hell is staring at me down there.
And what would you do once you
find out? I call Harold's Plumbing.
What would you do once you find out that the prying eyes were from a 6-foot-long python?
I'd say that's good work, Harold.
Oh, man, I'd have to burn the house down after that. I couldn't live in a house knowing that a 6-foot python could get into my shower drain. I wouldn't even trust the house after that. That'd be like finding a poltergeist in my house. I can't live in a house.
Well, again, this is Australia. It's a little bit different down under than it is here.
This text is, my shower would become my toilet because I would crap myself.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you'd have more work for Harold. Yeah, you'd have more work for the plumber you call, because I don't think I'd be able to shower in there anymore because of what I just did. I defecated.
Yeah, Harold, not only do you have to get the snake out of my drain, but there's also a log. Can you remove the log as well?
I just can't believe the size of the thing.
Exactly. The log or the snake? Which one?
Well, both. But how someone was able to pull a snake that 6.5 feet tall out of their shower drain, the drain where the water from the shower exits.
And you know what else is different from Australia than America? It was the plumber that pulled the snake out. They didn't call the snake professional. They didn't call the SPCA or reptile person. It was a regular
plumber. No, it was a regular dude. It was just
a regular plumber. Like, here's your problem
no,
right here.
No, it was just a dude taking a shower. Crocodile Dundee in the shower down there in Australia.
I think I found your problem. You have a 6-foot python in your drain. Would you like for me to remove it? Why, thank you. I would like for you to remove it.
Huh. Jeez. So here's one of those stories that I could, because usually when we do a story and I tell you that I like to put myself in the shoes or the bare feet of the people who are in the story, and a lot of the times I say, look, I'd like to think I would do this because, you know, it's easy to read a story and say, well, if I was that person in the story, here's what I would do. In this case, it's very easy for me to put myself in the position of the person in the story, because it's very easy for me to tell you what I would do in this particular situation. I'd call a plumber. I would not do what this guy in Australia did.
Now I have to ask, you've been around, have you, what's the weirdest thing you've ever found in a toilet looking down? Like, have you ever looked down in a toilet and saw like a rat or a bug or maybe... I remember there was a story about this guy and something was wrong with his sink. And when he called the plumber, there was an engagement ring stuck in the garbage disposal in the sink. And it wasn't working properly. And when they called the plumber, they were like, oh, here's your problem. You have an engagement ring or a wedding ring stuck in there. So have you ever found something strange in your sink or your garbage disposal?
Now, the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a toilet is what I most recently ate, and it looked exactly like what I most recently ate, and it didn't look like, you know, like poop. It didn't look like I just dropped a deuce like most normal poop looks. It looked pretty much exactly like I just ate it.
Corn. So it was corn.
Well, corn. Corn is all over the place. I mean, I'm a fan of corn, and corn always looks pretty much exactly like you ate it.
The band or the food?
Nah, the food. Nobody from the band Korn.
That would be weird.
Or anybody that looked like the band Korn was in my toilet. No. I could give my toilet a nickname. I could call it the Korn Catcher, because I'm a big fan of corn, and there's a lot of times, you know, and that's something most people don't like to admit, Coleman, that they look in the toilet after they drop a deuce. You know, that's just making sure you're healthy.
I was about to say the exact same thing. How do you know what state of being you're in if you don't look back and investigate the color of your excrement?
Well, anyways, guy was taking a shower in Australia. He saw eyes looking at him from his drain. And then when he opened up his drain to see what the hell was staring at him, he pulled out a giant python that was 6.5 feet tall. And that's something I would not do. All right, coming up on the show, we have a lot to do this morning on our show. They're having financial issues over at the Superdome, and they were in the middle of doing a really big renovation over at the Superdome. But that's going to be delayed about a year because of financial troubles and coronavirus. The big Superdome renovation, where they are putting a bunch of suites right on the field. That was one of the renovations. They're adding suites to the Superdome. These suites, Coleman, are right on the field. I don't know how good the view is going to be from there, because when you're at field level and you've got, which side are you on? Because you got the teams that stand there.
You know, it's funny. When you said they were going to put suites on the field, I thought you meant like ho-hos and ding-dongs. I didn't think you meant the actual. I thought you meant SWEETS suites. I'm like, why would they?
No, they're adding those types of suites to the concession stand.
Okay.
But the suites I'm talking
about. My imagination ran wild for some strange reason.
Stay tuned for that and a whole lot more coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station and Odyssey station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Never saw a headline like this before. Woman finds out she has two vaginas while giving birth. You would think if a woman would realize that before she gave birth, but for 25 years, Brittany Jacobs had no idea she had two vaginas until she went into labor.
So she was pregnant.
Yeah, well, she.
That means somebody smashed. So you would think the guy smashing would point and say, "Hey, looks like you have two vaginas, right?" Would it be that easy, or?
I guess you couldn't tell from the outside.
Ah, okay, now the mystery's afoot.
Quote, "Oh, honey, you have two vaginas, two cervixes, and two uteruses," unquote. That's what a nurse told her while she was in the process of giving birth to her first child. The now 26-year-old just recounted that story in a viral TikTok video, which has gotten almost 3 million views. While Brittany Jacobs did not realize she had double anatomy, she had noticed something was off in her nether regions, where she first observed as a young girl that she did have two openings. Quote, "I always believed it was my hymen. And as I got older, I thought it was just really tough and maybe would break one day," she said in a recent interview. Coleman, the other day, I didn't read the story on the air, but I told you off air.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I was reading about a baby boy who was born not that long ago, and he was born with three penises.
Penis.
And I remember thinking to myself, wow, that's going to be one hell of a circumcision.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't know if he was Jewish or not, or I just read where he was, a baby boy was born not that long ago with three penises. So now here's a woman. At least he knows from birth he has three penises. This woman didn't find out she had two vaginas until she was 25 years old.
That means when she did sex, she probably can break her stuff twice because one wasn't active and the other one was. Like, there's so many weirdness that can come from this story.
She also had another sign that her body was unique. Despite considering herself to have a really high pain tolerance, she also had excruciating periods. It's probably why. It's probably double the, you've got two vaginas.
And two cervixes.
And two uteruses. So that's double the fun every month when she's going through this. And now she said that the excruciating periods, which were so bad, I would cry. That's what she said. But now it explains that.
That means technically she could have been pregnant twice. If she got pregnant up one cervix and pregnant in the other cervix, she could have literally been pregnant twice, and the babies wouldn't be twins.
No, they wouldn't be twins.
They would be born around the same time, but not biological twins, and she could have had two babies in her stomach without.
And she said in the TikTok video, quote, "What is something a doctor completely ignored about you when clearly there was something wrong?" How does this woman grow up, become an adult, and not find out she has two vaginas until she gets pregnant and has her first child? How possibly could that happen?
Well, she did do some investigating, but she just missed the diagnosis. Now, how the doctor missed it, how the person giving birth missed it, you know, who knows? It was 25 years ago. Maybe the medical stuff wasn't up to par. But clearly she knew something was up. She just didn't know what it was until she had her first baby.
Once this video went viral, a clinical professor at Yale University School of Medicine was asked about this. Dr. Mary Jane Minkin said, quote, "Basically all gynecologists who get to be old see some patience with this in their lifetime. My take-home message is, you're not a freak. You're not weird. You just have two vaginas.
So my theory is, do you think with the boy being born with three penises and now we know that women can possibly have two vaginas, do you think this is nature's way of trying to get us prepared for the next step of human evolution? Like nature's trying to say, hey, I'm trying to get, because what I've noticed now.
What are you saying? This is the future?
Yeah, because see, what I've been noticing lately is like every time a person is born with an oddity, we as human beings try to remedy the oddity, but maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should just let the people with the oddities become fully grown adults, and maybe this is supposed to be the next step of human evolution. Maybe humans now are supposed to have like four arms and eight eyes or whatever, but every time we see somebody with a weird, strange oddity, we freak out because we don't understand what nature's trying to do. They're trying to call us to the next level, and we try to remedy the oddity. Like, oh, no, I don't want my baby born with four arms.
Find me anybody who wouldn't freak out over the fact that a human being, a woman, has two vaginas.
I think most men would probably appreciate a woman having more than one vagina.
This Dr. Minkin said that this condition can occasionally complicate reproductive ability and cause kidney problems. But Dr. Minkin added that in Brittany Jacobs' case, her labor doctors cut the septum, dividing her two vaginas, meaning now I only have one place of entrance.
So she could
give birth.
Stopping human. There we go again. Preventing humans from evolving. We're messing with nature.
Wow. I get, just when you
well, know. Now that she has one opening, I'm quite sure. Would the husband appreciate that or not? Like, oh, it was a perfect fit, but now he has to readjust his skills.
Again, Brittany Jacobs thought that, you know, she just had pain there. There were some problems there. She had no idea she had two vaginas until she was 25 years old and she
vagina
got pregnant and gave birth. Boy, my mind is blown this morning when I see a story like that. All right, coming up on the show. There's more fallout from the dumpster fire that is the LSU football program right now. As they didn't show up, nobody from LSU showed up yesterday to talk to the Louisiana State Senate committee that wanted to talk to their head football coach Ed Orgeron and others at LSU. They didn't show up because they're getting sued by their associate athletics director, who still works there. She's suing them for $50 million, and she still has a job. The Louisiana State Senate Committee not happy with the LSU folks who were asked to go speak to them yesterday. None of them showed up, again, because they're being sued. And I guess legally that makes sense. If you're being sued, you don't want to say anything. Stay tuned for that. The renovations at the Superdome here in New Orleans, they're going to take an extra year, it looks like, because they're running out of money because of coronavirus, too. Stay tuned for those reports and more here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. The Clash there, one of my favorite bands. They're definitely one of my five favorite bands. I love The Clash. They're one of my desert island bands. That's if somebody says to you, you could only listen to five bands or 10 bands and you're stuck on a desert island. The Clash would be in there for me. And you know, when they were making records, they weren't appreciated nearly as much until after their career was over. As time has gone on, music historians, music experts will tell you how important The Clash were. Just what type of music they were playing, when they were playing it. You know another band that was slammed by the critics while they were going, but as time has gone on, they have gotten more appreciated and more appreciated? Stone Temple Pilots. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. An Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. New Orleans morning radio show. So yesterday in Baton Rouge, nobody from LSU's football program or nobody from LSU's school showed up to talk to the Louisiana State Senate Special Committee that, with all the investigations going on into LSU in their football program, sexual misconduct and other things. Yesterday, Coach Ed Orgeron was supposed to show up there because the Louisiana State Senate Committee, they requested his presence, but he didn't show up. He sent a letter. And other higher-ups at LSU were supposed to show up yesterday. None of them showed up because they are now being sued by one of their current employees. The associate athletics director is suing LSU for $50 million. And because of that lawsuit, I guess the lawyers for the university said, don't show up and talk to the Louisiana State Senate Committee. You know, send them a letter like Coach Orgeron did. And so that's, I guess it makes sense because they're getting sued in anything they say.
When I first heard that Coach O had to go speak, I'm thinking, yeah, he's a stand-up guy. He shouldn't have any problems going in front of the lawmakers and speaking. But then when you told me he's going to send a letter, I was like, wow, that's bad optics. But now if his legal counsel told him no, it'd be best to send a letter informing them of your situation, that makes sense. Because I still personally think Coach O is a stand-up guy, and I'm hoping that pans out at the end of all of this dumpster fire.
I don't know, Coleman, what's going to happen. It's not going to be good for LSU football.
No, none of this is good now. We're already seeing fallout from this before the investigation is concluded.
Well, again, the current associate athletics director, she still has a job there. And she's suing LSU for $50 million because she says when Les Miles was there, he made all kinds of sexist statements. And again, Les Miles has lost his job as the head football coach at Kansas University in the wake of what happened while he was head coach at LSU. The president of Oregon State University just lost his job because he was the president at LSU while a bunch of this stuff happened. And a couple of higher-ups in the LSU athletic department, I know they were suspended. I don't know if they've been fired or not. But there's a couple of different investigations going on. The federal government, the feds are looking into LSU. And I don't know if Coach Orgeron is going to be able to survive this, to be honest with you. A lot of this has to do with when Darius Geis was a star running back with LSU. There are women, former LSU female students who said he sexually assaulted them with other former LSU players. And nothing happened to Darius Geis while he was at LSU. Meanwhile, he ended up being a high draft pick in the NFL, and he has been kicked out of the league. He's been arrested for rape while he was a member of the Washington football team up there, the team formerly known as the Redskins. They booted him off the team. He's been arrested for rape, and he's probably thinking to himself, well, evidently he got away with a lot while he was at LSU, and he just continued that behavior while he was in the NFL, and he is now out of the league. Just an absolute mess, and we'll see what the future holds. Although nobody from LSU showed up to talk to Louisiana State Senate yesterday, representatives from the Superdome did show up to talk to government officials yesterday, and they said they that their $450 million renovations, upgrades to the Superdome here in New Orleans, that's been put on hold, that's been delayed because they're having all kinds of financial troubles, and they're also blaming the coronavirus pandemic. And so it's going to take longer for them to finish the $450 million upgrades to the Superdome. We already told you about a couple of those upgrades. Over 4,000 season ticket holders lost their seats because they removed seats and they replaced them with two things they are calling vomitrons.
Vomitories.
Oh, I'm sorry, vomitories.
Yeah, vomitories, I believe, is the correct. They call them the super voms for short.
Super voms. Those are going to be areas where people could stand and watch some of the action. And corners of the lower section. And also part of the $450 million upgrades are a bunch of new suites that they added. But the suites are on the field. They're at field level. They look pretty cool, but I wonder how great the viewing is going to be from those seats if you're on the field level. And I mean, if you're behind benches where the players and coaches stand up, I mean, obviously they're going to have nice television screens in those suites on the field level. But if you go to the games, you like seeing the game live. You don't really want to. I mean, it's nice to have the TV screen in there. But if you're going to the game, you like to see it live instead of watching the actual game on television. Great for replays and such. But those are just a couple of parts of the $450 million upgrade to the Superdome that is happening. That is now, it's going to take a little bit longer to finish. Again, they're saying, and they said it yesterday again to local lawmakers, because of the coronavirus pandemic and the fact that they're short on cash right now. So it's going to take a little bit longer to finish up the latest upgrades going on to the Superdome. All right, coming up next on the show, there's a bar that's going to give you free shots if you get your shot, your vaccination shot. Boy, if they want to get people vaccinated, they should just give out different types of shots at local bars. They should give out the vaccine shot at bars. We'll explain about that coming up. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station, and Odyssey Station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans' morning radio show. Hey, tomorrow, Coleman does his day drinking with Coleman videos on Saturdays.
Yeah, on Facebook Live.
And it's always fun to see. And sometimes I'll go hang out with Coleman and I'll do the day drinking with Coleman video. Although I don't do as much day drinking as Coleman does.
Not too many people do.
No, I mean, if I knew you a few years ago, then I would be able to keep up with you. But
you did know me a few years ago, about 10 years ago.
Yeah. I've known you for a little while, but I still enjoy a few while you enjoy several on your day drinking with Coleman videos. And but tomorrow, when you do it, I'm going to do it with you tomorrow at high noon.
Right.
But former New Orleans Saint defensive back Delvin Bro is going to be there with us as well.
Right. We're going to be at Wing Zone in Marrero, 1900 Bad Terrier Boulevard, around high noon tomorrow. Delvin Bro is supposed to be doing a book signing over there.
Delvin Bro's got a new book out. It's called Unbreakable. If you don't know much about Delvin Bro, he grew up in New Orleans. He played his high school football at McDonough 35. He broke his neck when he was playing high school football. And LSU offered him a scholarship before he broke his neck. He broke his neck in three places.
Yikes.
But LSU still honored that scholarship. He went there. He never played football for LSU because he was still recovering from a broken neck. But then he went on and he played in the Arena Football League with the New Orleans Voodoo. He played in the Canadian Football League where he was one of the best Canadian football players in that league. And then he played a couple of years with the New Orleans Saints. I mean, imagine that, after breaking his neck. And then when he was playing for the Saints, he broke his leg. But the Saints medical staff, he says, misdiagnosed him. And they said he didn't break his leg, but he ended up suing them. I don't know how that went. And I know last summer, there was a story about him locally saying that he was out of money. He was eating cereal all day. That's all he could afford. I hope he's doing better now. He's got a new book out. It's called Unbreakable.
No, it's called Unbroken. It's spelled with his last name. Delvin Bro is Unbro, like the way he spells it, Ken. Unbroken.
Oh, I thought it was Unbreakable.
No, it's Unbroken. Unbroken.
It's Unbroken. That's his new book. And he'll be signing copies of that tomorrow. Right at the same time where we're doing the day drinking with Coleman video, the same time, the same place, 12 noon at Wing Zone in Marrero. Come by and say hi if you can. What a story, Delvin Bro.
Yeah, he'll be there from noon to 2. I'll be there from noon to whenever I can't handle any more shots.
Yeah, that's when we'll be there doing your day drinking with Coleman video.
Yeah, and if you do decide to show up, we still follow some of the COVID guidelines. Wear a mask, kind of distance yourself. If you're just there hanging out, you know, we do have a capacity rate, meaning that if you're just hanging out and you're not, you know, eating or getting your book signed, it'll be reasonable for you to let other people, you know, just leave and let other people come get their book signed and get something to eat, because we're still in a phase 3 in Jefferson Parish. We can't just wild out and have a packed house like we would like to.
And the food there is great.
Yes,
too.
It is.
Delicious, delicious wings. So hopefully we'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon at Wing Zone over there in Marrero on the West Bank. And speaking of bars in New Orleans, Coleman, or bars in the New Orleans area, we all know that here in Orleans Parish, in the city of New Orleans, we're the only one of the 64 parishes in the state of Louisiana that still has tighter coronavirus restrictions. In the other 63 parishes, bars now are allowed to stay open past 11 p.m. But here in New Orleans, bars still have to close at 11 p.m., although they just announced yesterday New Orleans could open up bars until 1 a.m. starting this weekend.
So they haven't decided yet? It's still wishy-washy, like they could do it, but we're not really sure?
Yeah, that's all it says, is New Orleans bars could get their hours extended by a couple of hours as soon as this weekend. A source told our friends over at Channel 4 that the city of New Orleans could ease bar restrictions starting tonight. That easing of rules includes letting the bars stay open until 1 a.m. rather than what they're currently allowed to stay open till 11 p.m. Now, look, bars in New Orleans, a bunch of them stay open all night. Why can't we get back to that?
Yeah, what difference does 1 o'clock make as opposed to 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning?
Yeah, it's... Anyways, as soon as we find out, we'll let you know. But they're saying now that starting tonight, bars could stay open until 1 a.m. here in the city of New Orleans. Again, that's That's as much information as we have. And there's one bar that is offering free shots of booze if you get a coronavirus shot. Well, I guess that'd be a shot for a shot deal.
I'll take it.
The Dragon's Den bar is teaming up with Crescent Care NOLA to offer Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines on the neutral ground today. Those who get the vaccine are eligible for a free shot at the bar. And that's going to be over at the Dragon's Den bar here in the city of New Orleans. That'd be a great way to get more people vaccinated if they want to get more people vaccinated. Offer a shot for a shot, and you can have people, health experts obviously, giving shots, the vaccination shot.
I mean, the Johnson & Johnson shot, that's the one at the bar. Yeah, the Johnson & Johnson shot, that's the one where you only get the poke once.
One shot.
So one shot for one shot, unlike the Pfizer and Moderna where you have to get two. So they should make another deal like, hey, if you choose to get Pfizer and Moderna, you get two shots.
But they're not doing it that way. No. They're giving out the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine outside
the
Dragon's Den bar. And then if you get that shot, then you can just go into the bar and they'll give you a free shot of booze. How about that, huh? All right. Hey, we're giving you a chance to win $1,000 in cash each hour weekdays from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. Making it rain here on Bayou 95.7. Just know the keyword, and then you text that back, and your first shot at that is coming up now.
Yep, text it at 72881.
Good luck from Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock, and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Did you see that Orleans Parish is getting its first standalone Chick-fil-A restaurant? And you see where it's going to be? Algiers Plaza Shopping Center, 4100 General De Gaulle Drive.
Oh, in the West Bank.
Yeah, but that's technically, that's still Orleans Parish.
No, I just knew there was a catch to it because it was a standalone store.
Yeah, I mean, if you live in New Orleans and you like Chick-fil-A, I mean, usually you got to go down to Veterans in Metairie. But soon, Chick-fil-A fans won't have to go that far. But there's finally going to be one in Orleans Parish on General De Gaulle Drive. Great news. Who doesn't love Chick-fil-A? Mmm. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station and Odyssey station.
Chicken!
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I want to ask you a question when it comes to music. What do you think people are going to be still listening to, 100 years from now, 150 years from now? Because there are still songs that were recorded in the 1960s, if you're a rock fan, 1970s, that still get listened to a lot today here in the year 2021. And, you know, these songs now 50, 60 years old, and they still get played. You know, you can go to YouTube, or you could go to other streaming services to find out what people are listening to find out what people are still listening to. For instance, like 100 years from now, are people still going to be cranking Led Zeppelin? I 150 years from now, are people still going to be cranking Metallica?
I have a theory.
What's your theory on that?
I have a theory that certain songs still will be played 100 years from now, but not the entire catalog. For instance, today we still listen to Ludwig von Beethoven. We still listen to Mozart, but it's only the best ones that they've done, not their entire symphony, not everything they've composed. And I think the songs that we're going to be hearing 100 years from now would be the most popular of Led Zeppelin or Metallica, or songs that we hear from movies like Journey, Don't Stop Believing. Yes, 100 years from now, people will.
So you think 100 years from now, people will still be cranking the song Don't Stop Believing?
Yes, they
by
might
Journey.
Not listen to everything Journey has done.
Of course not.
But the hits, yes, 100 years from now, the most pop music, the most popular songs of an era will still be played 100 years from now. Because watch, and especially if those popular songs are connected to popular scenes from movies and TV shows.
Well, slow down here. Slow down. You just said something that I disagree with a little bit.
Okay.
Coleman. Pop music.
Not pop, that, but popular, meaning that it's...
Because there are songs that have been huge for a summer,
yeah,
for a month or two, but they don't get listened to anymore. When was the last time anyone ever listened to Jenny from the Block by Jennifer Lopez?
Good point.
Do you remember how big that song was? So my question is, and if you're listening, you could text us 100 years from now, 150 years from now, 200 years from now. You would have to think a band like Led Zeppelin, some of their best songs, a band like Queen, who we just played, some of their best songs, are still going to be listened to. Right?
Yeah.
And I
Tom says Led Zeppelin is eternal.
And I agree with you, Coleman, especially with the advent of the internet. Albums are no longer a big deal. You know, albums used to be a big deal, but people are only going to want to hear a song that they love.
Right.
So single songs will live longer than albums live.
And a lot of songs, people won't even know where they came from, who was the original artist. For instance, in movies and TV shows and commercials, we still play Flight of the Bumblebee. But I guarantee you, nobody can tell you who was the original composer of Flight of the Bumblebee. It's just that song is synonymous with people rushing, people dashing. When you hear that, even every time you hear it, you think of a moment. You think of something that you're thinking of an activity. So there's going to be songs and musical chords and musical that are synonymous with events.
Like the song Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right, right.
By Queen. 150 years from now, there's going to be some kid who hears that for the first time and says, oh my God, what an incredible recording. What an incredible piece of music. Because there's always going to, it doesn't matter what generation, there's always going to be people who love music. So those people that love music are always going to find the greatest music.
This text says Baby Shark will still be playing.
Huh.
But see, a lot of people are naming names on the text messages. We have Led Zeppelin, we have the Beatles, we have Elvis, we have Rolling Stones. And I get that. I believe that songs from these artists will still be being played 200 years from now. But I think we're going to lose the originality of it. Meaning that, for instance, that song that's all is covered so many times, Come Together. You know, there's going to be a point
where... The Beatles wrote that.
The Beatles wrote that, but some people contribute that to Godsmack or Gary Clark Jr. Or Aerosmith. First time I heard it was Michael Jackson. I didn't even know it was a Beatles song. I thought it was Michael Jackson. So something like Come Together may be covered in the future by some future artist.
I didn't even know. You just told me something I didn't even know. I didn't know Michael Jackson covered
Come
Together.
Yeah, Michael Jackson did. That's the first time I heard it on the movie Moonwalker, Come Together. But like I said, a lot of these songs will still be being played, but... It'll be played from commercials. It'll be played like Kanye West. I think he's going to go down as a genius 200 years from now, the same way we look at like artist Leonardo da Vinci. It's, you know, during Leonardo da Vinci's time, everybody thought he was a crazy lunatic, and it took us a while to realize, wow, this guy was actually a genius. And I think Kanye West is going to be one of those people that right now we ridicule him. We say he's crazy, he's a lunatic, he's off the wall. But I think 200 years from now, another generation, they're going to look back and say, wow, this guy was ahead of his time. He's going to be mind-blowing.
See, the cool thing about our radio station, the classic rock, I mean, we're now that we're sitting here in the year 2021, we're playing stuff that has a 30 to 40 year span mm-hmm. difference. I mean, we play a bunch of 70s stuff. We play a bunch of stuff from the 90s as well, and in between. And I just wonder, 150 years from now, if you're listening, what songs do you think will still be popular? I mean, a great song is a great song. It doesn't matter what year it came out.
Well, M.O. asks, name a song still playing now from 100 years ago. I can do that. There's Moonlight Sonata. You know what I'm saying? There's For Elise. These are all classical songs. Of course, that, you know, and these are songs that were composed hundreds of years ago that we still hear today. Some just don't know the name, but when we hear it, we know what it is because of movies. I still listen to a lot of Mozart, Ludwig van Beethoven, like classical artists.
Well, you're talking classical.
Yeah, but it's still songs that was from 100 years ago.
But our texter said 100 years ago, so you're talking 1921. Think about a little bit after that. But
yeah, you're right. 1921 is 100 years ago.
But think about a little bit after that, Louis Armstrong stuff. People still listen to Louis Armstrong.
So I guess like it'll be in 2040, would they still be listening to swing music like old World War II, the Bugle Boy Company B, those type of songs?
I mean, that's why I just brought this up because rock and roll, it's I don't think it'll ever be at the top of the music genre list. I mean, you know, right now it happens to be hip-hop, pop music. It seems to be more popular than rock. But rock's always been very popular, and I don't think it has to be the most popular genre for it to live for a very, very, very long time, for it to live forever.
100 years ago, the beginning notes of Don't Stop Believing by Journey would be more recognizable than any rap song, in my opinion, 100 years from now. When you hear that thun, that piano that comes in.
So you think the song Don't Stop Believing by Journey is going to be played 100 years from now, 150 years from now, because it's such a classic song, it's such a great song.
Yep.
Text us if you want. What songs do you think kids, young people, old people are going to be listening to 100, 150 years, 200 years from now? What songs do you think are still going to be public? Because a great song, if it's a great song, it'll always be a great song. It will always be a great song, right? Text us, 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short. And if it's good and adds to the show, we'll read it coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. If you're just joining us, I asked a question a few minutes ago. 100 years from now, what songs are people still going to be listening to? 150 years from now, 200 years from now. And Coleman and I were talking that classical music from 150 years ago, some of it is still popular today, obviously. You want to go back to 100 years from now, what's that, 1921? I mean, what would Louis Armstrong was starting to make music, and some of his music is still listened to today. When it comes to rock, I mean, think about it. As we sit here now in the year 2021, there are still rock songs from the 60s and the 70s that are still popular today. And you're talking songs that are 40, 50, almost 60 years old.
So those songs only have 40 more years to survive in the big 4 years.
In the way I look at it, a great song will always be great. The young music lovers born 100 years from now, 150 years from now, that are very easily, because of the internet, going to be able to go find stuff that they like. I mean, for instance, AC/DC, the song Back in Black, or You Shook Me All Night Long, or Thunderstruck. Don't you think that people are still going to be listening to those songs 100 years from now, 150 years from now? I mean, look at Fleetwood Mac. Take the song Go Your Own Way or Rhiannon. There's never going to be a time where those songs aren't good. And I think that's what's so cool about rock compared to pop music. Because pop music is huge for a month, 2 months, 3 months, a pop song. And then you never hear it again. Like 100 years from now, are people going to be, I used the Jennifer Lopez song, Jenny from the Block, earlier. Nobody's going to, I mean, that was huge for like a month or two. But nobody's going to be listening to that 100 years from now. Like Britney Spears. I mean, we all love Britney from Louisiana. But Hit Me Baby One More Time, is that song going to be played a lot 100 years from now, 150 years from now? I mean, you could look at some of the songs we play here on Bayou 95.7, classic rock, such an incredible format of music. You've got great stuff. We still play some stuff from the 60s, more stuff from the 70s through the 90s. I mean, Nirvana. You think people are going to be listening to some Nirvana songs 100 years from now, 150 years from now? I asked you to text us, 504-260-9595. What do you think people are going to be listening to 100, 150 years from now? I mean, Led Zeppelin is always going to sound timeless, right?
Right, this first text says, Robert Johnson is eternal. He's early 1900s.
And Robert Johnson is the guy who history tells us sold his soul to the devil in Mississippi. There's an intersection. And that very intersection, by the way, I think there's a McDonald's on one corner. There's a Burger King across the street. But on that intersection in Mississippi where Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil so he could play some sick guitar. I mean, Robert Johnson, a lot of his stuff still sounds good today.
This text says, in 100 years, the dark side of the moon will be revered like the Bible is.
That Pink Floyd, they got some songs that are absolutely timeless. That 150 years from now, you would think young music lovers will be like, whoa.
Lynette says, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. And that's my theory. My theory is certain songs will be played, not an artist's entire catalog.
But once the music lovers hear certain songs from those bands, Coleman, it's going to be very easy on the internet just to find so many other songs by those particular
bands.
But
that doesn't mean they'll like them. See, I've heard songs and I find out, wow, this song is like, I've heard cover songs that were really good. And then when I go back and find the original artist, I didn't really like the rest of the artist's songs. It's just those particular songs. So even though the Beatles have made classic hits, I couldn't really get into the Beatles' music, but I do like some of their real good hits. But I couldn't listen to an entire Beatles album.
Well, the second half of the Beatles' career is absolutely timeless. Absolutely. I mean, some of those songs. I mean, you listen to the White Album, that could have been recorded yesterday, and that's what. Meanwhile, you listen to the Doors, and I love the Doors. But so much of their catalog sounds dated.
Yeah, it didn't stand the test of time. This text says, all Vietnam era and acid music.
Well, you know, not that text, but the last texter brought up Bohemian Rhapsody. Now, when we were talking about this earlier, that I brought up that song, and I said that I can imagine 150 years from now, somebody hearing that for the first time, saying, "Oh my God, what an incredible recording! What an amazing piece of music that was put together by this group. What are they called? Oh, Queen."
David says, will guitar players Eddie Van Halen, Eric Clapton, etc. still be appreciated the way they are now?
I believe so. And when Eddie Van Halen died a few months ago, I said, you're going to be hearing Eddie Van Halen playing guitar on the internet, on the radio, on whatever. I mean, Lord knows what the future of radio is with the internet.
Juice says, Sweet Caroline, bump, 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 by Neil Diamond will still be played. I can see that. It's pretty catchy. KB says certain music will be banned and canceled in the future, and I think he makes a good point, actually. It's going to suck. I think some songs will be canceled, like that Christmas song that we can no longer play on the radio, Baby Come Outside or Baby Stay Here Tonight or whatever it is.
It's Cold Outside.
It's Cold Outside, that one. You know, it might be a great song to certain people, but certain generations won't be able to hear it because they're being canceled today.
I mean, I don't care what year it is, when does somebody who likes rock music, when will they play the song Welcome to the Jungle from Guns N' Roses or Sweet Child of Mine from Guns N' Roses and not like that song? I don't care if it's 100 years from now, 200 years from now. I mean, what's going to be done in the next 100 years?
But do you think rock is fading out the way classical music did? Now you can only hear classical music in movies pretty much. They still have orchestras, but nobody's coming up with new classical music, you know, unless it's for movie soundtracks. So would there be a time where all the rock music we hear would just be older rock music and more new rock songs won't be coming out?
Well, we've heard some good rock music, really good rock music in the last 20 years. But not as much of it as we did in the 20 years, 30 years, 40 years before that.
Right. This text says, I think Ice Ice Baby will always be a classic. You know, I looked up, just out of curiosity, I looked up songs from 1921, exactly 100 years from now. And I can tell you, I did not recognize not one of them. I didn't. So...
But we know songs from before that, the classical stuff. When you bring up Beethoven and Bach and people like that.
This text says, 200 years from now, we'll all be singing the Chinese national anthem. And, of course, we have to have that one. This text says, who cares what people will be listening to in 200 years? There's always that one guy. There's always that one person.
You know, that doesn't interest you, Texter?
I'm very interested to know what people will be listening to.
I mean, Coleman said when we were talking about this earlier, I brought up Bohemian Rhapsody. Coleman brought up the Journey song, Don't Stop Believing. I can imagine 150 years from now, somebody flying in their jetpack through the sky, cranking that song, Don't Stop Believing by Journey. I just thought this was interesting.
It's very interesting.
And, you know, there's a lot of artists who have made music that seemingly, I think, could very well last forever. And then there's a lot that sounds dated. There's a lot that the pop songs, hey, they were huge for 5 minutes, but... What was that Paula Abdul song? Straight Up Now, Tell Me, Are You Really Gonna? Do you remember how big that song? Do you think people are going to be listening
to
that?
Yes, people still listen to that today, yes.
So you think 100 years from now, people are going to still be listening to that?
Yes, because they have the potential, because people still listen to that. That's a great song. I still hear, like Cameo, Word Up. It's not popular with the classic rock genre. People still listen to Word Up by Cameo, so I think songs like that, what they call those cult classics. There are going to be some songs that aren't that good, but they're just cult classics, and they're going to live on, like the Afro Man. Because I got high, because it's not a great song, but it's a weird song that people will refer to like Weird Al Yankovic.
But with that being said, I think great songs are going to last.
Yeah, of course.
I think if a song is great, it's always going to be great. And again, not to everybody, but to enough people where it will still carry on and be listened to generation after generation after generation.
One last text. Dave says, does anyone believe that we will have flying cars in the future? Well, Dave, we already have flying cars. They're called helicopters.
Mm. All right, hey, coming up on the show. Keep the text coming in, though. I mean, because I think that's very interesting, and I think 150 years from now, if a song is great today, it's still going to be a great song then, won't it?
Wop.
See, I don't know if we're going to be hearing that Cardi B, soon to be classic, 150 years from now. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Really cool story I just reading about. Remember the BP oil spill back in 2010? That wasn't cool. But a pelican, one of the pelicans that was rescued from the Gulf of Mexico after the BP oil spill there in 2010, a bunch of pelicans were rescued. They were cleaned up, and they were brought to different places. One of those pelicans, a Louisiana brown pelican,
go pelican.
It was rescued, cleaned up. They brought it to Georgia, and it just left Georgia, and it ended up near Grand Isle here. They figure that one determined brown pelican made a 700-mile trip to come home to Louisiana.
So the pelican pulled the MLP.
Fly pelican.
Well, this pelican is a lot more resilient than our New Orleans Pelicans basketball team. I'll tell you that right now. But I thought that was really cool how they figured out that it was photographed, and someone figured out that was one of the pelicans who had oil all over it because of the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico back in 2010. And they cleaned it up, brought it to Georgia, and now they just saw it near Grand Isle.
Can't blame the pelican right now. It doesn't seem like Georgia's the place to be.
How about that? Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. I'm going to tell you about a rapper who made it very easy for police to arrest him. That's next on the dumbest thing I read all morning on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. It is time now for me to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Felon arrested in Mississippi for appearing in rap videos holding weapons.
That'll do it.
A Mississippi man who was convicted for his part in a shooting about 4 years ago just got arrested on Monday because he was making a rap video, and in the video, he was walking around in front of the camera holding guns. 23-year-old Deldrick Harper.
You idiot.
Of Vicksburg, Mississippi.
I was waiting to hear his rapper name.
Deldrick sounds like a rapper name. I mean, who has a baby and looks at him and says, you know, he looks like a Deldrick. His parents.
I've heard worse.
Well, Deldrick was charged with one count of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Yeah, see, the problem was 4 years ago, he got arrested with a few other people because there was a shooting, and he was convicted. And now he got out of jail. And when you get out of prison, even though you're out, you're still a felon. You can't be in possession of a gun. You have lost, when you have been convicted of a felony, you have lost your Second Amendment right.
All right, two things. One, I disagree with that. I know I'm in the minority when I think of that, but I think your Second Amendment right should be your right no matter what. However,
you can't have felons running around with guns.
We do already, so what's the difference? So here's the thing. A good lawyer would say, Your Honor, that those were props for a video. Those were not real firearms. We used props just like they do in Hollywood with fake guns and fake quibs and fake blood. It was just props. If he has a good lawyer, the lawyer would try to spin that and make it seem all those guns, quote unquote, that you saw in the rap video, they were toy guns. They weren't real. They were prop weapons. They weren't real weapons. So my client was not in a possession of an actual firearm.
Well, Coleman, he's a wannabe rapper. And since we don't know who he is and you don't know who he is, you're a bigger fan of that genre of music than I am. I don't know if he's got the money for a really good lawyer that could come up with something like you just came up with for his defense.
Well, I mean, for a retainer fee, I can probably go out to Mississippi.
How dumb do you have to be, though? You're out of prison. You're a convicted felon. You know what's happening. So you make a rap video. You appear in a rap video where you're holding guns, pointing guns at the camera, and then you post the video to social media. Now, I don't know if Deldrick posted the video to his social media or if one of his buddies posted it to their social media, but somebody in Mississippi, some authority said, wait a minute, isn't that Deldrick? Isn't that Deldrick Harper? Isn't he a convicted felon? What's he doing in this rap video holding guns?
And how ironic would it be if the rap video was about what he did 4 years ago? I was in there, and I came out blasted. I did my time. Now who's asking? And throwing guns in the face. Like, that would be ironic that the song that he did the video for was about the shooting that he was involved in 4 years ago.
Well, now he's got new material on his plate because he just got himself arrested again for doing something very stupid.
Well, we'll be hearing Deldrick 100 years from now.
A convicted felon appearing in rap videos holding guns. Man, that's the Coleman, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Deldrick. You're on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock, an Odyssey station.